Good to be here. Good to have everybody with us. Another day. And I see it as one day closer to the coming of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Turn back to the book of Revelation 17 with me this morning, please. And Revelation 17, verse number 1. A lot of the good brethren out there say leave the book of Revelation alone, and it creates a handicap for you. It certainly does that if you leave the book of Revelation alone. Father, bless your word now and the study of your word. Give me the gift of teaching. Then our Father, give the folks ears to hear and a heart receptive to the truth. In thy name I pray, blessed one. Amen, 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 amen. Revelation, the apocalypse, the unveiling, the revelation. Chapter 17, verse 1. There came and one of the seven angels which had the seven vials talked with me, saying, come hither. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. The inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Now, we're speaking in symbolic terms, but we're talking about something specific. So he carried me away in the spirit to the wilderness, and I saw a woman, notice that we're using the feminine gender now, sit upon a scarlet-colored beast. We've introduced the color red, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color. And that's an easy matter to check who wears purple and scarlet. And decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, indication of supreme wealth, enormous wealth. Having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Fornication in the Bible is used in many different ways. Here it's in the spiritual sense. Upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great. All you have to do is get Alexander Hislop's Two Babylons, and you won't find it. I doubt seriously if any of the religious bookstores in town have it, but you can get it online. And Alexander Hislop lived in the 1800s. And he did an extensive research into Mystery Babylon, and he came to a very clear conclusion, along with anybody else that ever did the research, that the mystery religions of Babylon are now the Roman Catholic Church. Note carefully, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Now, I'm going to go back into what I went into this past Wednesday night and preface my remark once again by saying, there's a lot of individual Catholics out there that are good people. No doubt about it. They'd give you the shirt off their back, give you a place to stay, give you something to eat. Maybe members of your family are, and probably, it's up to the Almighty to be the judge, but probably some of those people are saved. So that needs to be understood. This has nothing to do with individual Catholics. This has to do with this institution. This has to do with what the Bible's dealing with. Sometimes I'll paint with a broad stroke. Sometimes I'll get very specific. This past Wednesday night, I talked about the war in the Balkans in the 90s. How many of you remember that? The war in the Balkans. Do you remember that the term ethnic cleansing was used? All right, the term ethnic cleansing. And the reason the term ethnic is from ethnos, which means a race or a group of people, to cleanse them, to get rid of them from the face of the earth. Americans, for the most part, marveled at the hatred that they saw in the war in Bosnia, Herzegovina, Croatia, Serbia, the former Yugoslavia. And Yugoslavia was a republic under Marshal Joseph, I think it's Joseph Franz Tito, who was a communist. But he did unite the people together in a country called Yugoslavia. But when he died, that country was broken up again. and it was broken up into the areas that it used to be. It's like the Soviet Republic, the Soviet Union. It had 15 separate republics that made up the Soviet Union. All these Eastern European countries, and many of them hated each other. A lot of hatred involved in that, but they were formed. A contrived republic was the Soviet Union. So when the Soviet Union broke up under Gorbachev, when President Reagan was the president, he started the breakup of it. It broke up, and when it broke up, each one of the 15 separate republics went their way. And now there's been a lot of infighting and so forth since then. The United States of America, folks, is a melting pot. There's only been two republics outside of this one. We have two republics. There were two. And one of them was California. It had its own president. The other one was Texas with its own president. These are republics. But sovereign republics. But they became part of the United States. So we have 50 sovereign states in this union. But it's never been, the United States was never formed, nobody ever sat down on it. And like after World War I, when they sat down and they drew up the boundaries of Iraq and Iran and Saudi Arabia and Yemen and all of these places, they just sat down and drew these up. That wasn't done with the United States. The United States grew into what it is today. And it's a nation of immigrants and came from all over the earth. But what they did, they didn't come over here to create a new Mexico, or they didn't come over here to create a new Italy. They didn't come over here to create a new France. They came over here with the ideology that this is a melting pot. I'm going to become an American. And that's what it was about. So, but when you get back into Europe and the old European states and some of the old European countries I'm talking about, you've got some hatred that goes back a long way. And so what happened over there in this war in the Balkans in the 90s was based upon something that had happened previous to that back in the 40s, which even goes back further than that. And it needs to be understood. You need to understand. You need to, if you see two people that despise each other, it's kind of good to find out why. Especially if you're forced to take sides. And so this hatred goes back, and the reason it does is because of genocide. And it goes back because of the Roman Catholic Church. And the Roman Catholic Church, if you don't know this, folks, and you need to know it, I've said it to you time and again, down through the centuries has a horrible record of persecuting people. And probably the worst record of it was in the Spanish Inquisition. And in 1492, when Columbus sailed, they also drove all the Jews out of Spain. Drove them out. Drove every Jew in Spain. Drove them out. And Christians and Jews were crucified and were beaten to death and were flayed and put on the racks and tortured and burned at the stake because they were Protestants and because that they weren't part of the Catholic Church. Now, folks, that's the truth. That's the truth. However you interpret that is up to you, but that is the truth. That happened. The commonly held misconception is that it all ended then. That after the Spanish Inquisition, all this torture and all this horrible inhumanity toward man ended. There might be a little spot here or there, but essentially it was over, but it wasn't. During World War II, one of the worst genocides took place that the world's ever heard of. But the problem is, most of the world's never heard of it. Now, how many of you in here this morning have heard about the 6 million Jews that were wiped off the face of the earth at the hand of the Nazis, right? Buchenwald, Treblinka, Belsen, Auschwitz, and all these other concentration camps that they sent them to. They burned them. They shot them to death, dug ditches, and had them kneel on the edge of the ditch and shot them to death. It was horrible what the Nazis did to the Jews. And one of the problems over there in Iran right now is Ahmadinejad denies that the Holocaust ever happened. Well, now, you could ask General Dwight David Eisenhower if it happened. He'll tell you it happened. You can ask the men who lived in World War II who witnessed it and saw what happened. It happened. It happened. No question about it. Exactly what the exact figure is, nobody knows. But it was millions. No question about that. So the Jews have something in this. They have something in it. Because in Croatia, which was created essentially by the Nazis, for the Ustashi, to become a Catholic state in World War II. In this area, the problem is that it wasn't all Catholics. You had Jews and you had Serbian Orthodox. Now, how many of you remember where I told you the Orthodox came from? It's important to know, to go back and trace the history of it. What was it, brother?
It was a split of Catholic Church, the East and West back.
Exactly. Do you remember the date? That's all right if you don't.
It's about 320.
It's 1054 A.D. Yeah, 320 is the Council of Nicaea. But in 1054 A.D., they split. And when they split, you had the Eastern Orthodox and the Western Catholic. They both called themselves Catholic because the word Catholic simply means universal. But they split, and it's called the Great Schism. When you start reading about it and check on it, you'll find out that's what it's called. Just type that into the internet, Great Schism. It'll come up, 1054. But the problem with the Orthodox is that it's not centrally located so much like the Catholic. You have Serbian Orthodox, Bulgarian Orthodox, you have Armenian Orthodox, you have Greek Orthodox, you have Russian Orthodox, and on and on and on it goes. You have Serbian Orthodox, all right, and these people are not Catholics. Well, here's what happened in Croatia in World War II. They said that we will convert a third of the Serbs, we will kill a third of the Serbs, and we'll drive a third of the Serbs out of the country. We'll get rid of them. That's what they said. And the man who said that was Ante Pavelić, and he was the head of the Croatian Ustashi, which was a surrogate of Nazism in Germany. They even served with the Nazis on the battlefield. The Ustashi sent their own contingency of soldiers to serve with them. So what happened in World War II was a genocide, murder, on a grand scale. Serbs were being put to death, hounded. They'd go through the villages, and they'd do all kinds of things to people that just simply are inhuman, unbelievable, to women and children. All this happened, folks. It's a matter of record. But most people have never heard of it. They've heard of the Jewish Holocaust, but they've never heard of the Serbian Holocaust. Why? And when stuff like that happens, you have to ask yourself a question. Somebody's covering up something for somebody. But anyway, well, let's go on past that. It did happen. But the Jews are involved because many of the Jews died. When the Jews get involved in a thing, one Jew told Truman, I think his name was Silverman or something. When Truman, Truman was the first, he was the American president that recognized Israel as a sovereign state. Truman. And he's told him, he says, now, the one thing that the Jew can give you that nobody else can give you is immortality. So what do you mean? He said, when we put you down in our history books, you're there forever. In other words, we're the ancient people. And the truth of the matter is, they're right. They are right. There's something about the Jew that if you start messing with the Jew, you're going to get in trouble. You're going to get in trouble. You'll get in trouble every time. And so they keep a record. They keep good records. They keep very good records. And I'm going to read you what Haaretz has to say about what I'm talking about. And I'm going to introduce something else to you this morning. The word ha in Hebrew is the, eretz is earth. Haaretz means the earth. What that simply means is that it is Judaism as it is found in the earth. If you find diaspora, that's the Jews as they are scattered through the earth. So eretz is one of the first words you find in the Hebrew Bible in Genesis chapter 1. So Haaretz, Jews of the earth, August the 26th, 2012. That's pretty recent, isn't it? August the 26th, 2012. Now listen carefully. It is possible that within a short time, a court in the United States will prohibit the publication of an account before us. In the meantime, Haaretz has obtained the testimony given last month by William Gowan, a former intelligence officer in the United States Army at a federal court in San Francisco. Reason for the court? Keep reading. The testimony contains historical and political explosives. It links, listen carefully, Giovanni Battista Montini. So who is that? Here's who he is. Who later became Pope Paul VI. To the theft of property of Jewish, Serb, Russian, Ukrainian, and Roma victims during World War II in Yugoslavia. Many studies and stories have already been written about the thundering silence of Pius XII. He was the one who was the Pope during World War II, who reigned the Vatican during World War II. Now, the former intelligence officer's testimonies reveal that after the war, Montini, who during the war served as the Vatican's Deputy Secretary of State under the Pope, helped hide and launder property that had been stolen from, among others, Jews, and was involved in the sheltering and smuggling of Croatian war criminals, such as the leader of the Ustaši movement, Ante Pavelić. Now I want to bring up something that how many of you have ever heard of the rat lines? Okay, few of you have. You see, you don't hear much about that, do you? You haven't heard Diane Sawyer say anything about the rat lines lately, have you? Well, don't hold your breath. What's the rat lines? After World War II, when the Nazi regime fell, the surrogate states fell, and all those that were complicit with it fell. And so all of this, they fell. When they began to fall, the war criminals, you know, how many of you know about the war tribunal after the war? They tried the, you've seen many, many times, you've seen the footage of it. So after the war, they went after these war criminals, and Ante Pavelić was a war criminal. So was Adolf Eichmann. So was Joseph Mengele. And the list goes on. These are Nazis and Croatians who are murderers, and they went after them. All right, now, do you not think it'd be right to, you know, somebody's a mass murderer, to turn him over to the authorities? You know what they did? Through a series of monasteries and back deals and so forth, they transported these war criminals out of Germany and out of Croatia through Europe, finally out of Europe. Some of them went into Middle East or into the East, and many of them went to Argentina. Many of them, most of them, went to Argentina. That's called the rat lines. When you get home, Google, just type rat line in one time. You're ready now for a whole new world you've never heard about. It'll blow your mind. The rat lines. Now, what's that mean, though? Let's interpret that. What's that mean? What's the point? The point is that the Roman Catholic Church, in full knowledge, moved murdering war criminals underneath the hands of the authorities and got them out into safety after World War II, and that is a fact. Now, what does that do? That establishes something. That establishes a principle. That establishes a principle. That establishes something. That's right. If you catch a thief red-handed, from then on, he's branded a what? That establishes something. So what does it establish? It establishes that they are a law unto themselves, that they don't recognize anybody's authority over them. And the truth of the matter is, they say it publicly and have for centuries, that they are a law unto themselves, and that all secular authority is subject unto the Pope and the Roman Catholic Church. You say, well, what's that got to do with me? It's got a lot to do with you. Because of where we are and where we're headed. Because of what it says in Revelation chapter number 17. When they ferreted these murderers out, it kind of gives you an idea of the mindset. For example, Cardinal Aloysius Stepinac was the leading Catholic figure in Croatia in World War II, fully aware of all the murdering that went on, all of it, fully aware of it. As a matter of fact, if you just want to dig into the personal, just get onto any website, folks, people still live in Croatia, they still live in Serbia, they still live over there. As I told you before, the reason for the killing there in the war in the 90s, I don't know the figures. You know, I know I'm like Will Rogers. All I know is what I read in the newspapers. You know, how much of that's true? I mean, how much of the figures are correct? I mean, who killed who? I don't know. But, yeah, but the bottom line is, you know, the Serbs get the blunt. They get the brunt of all of the accusations and being accused of the pogroms and stuff in the 90s. And the truth of the matter is, it might not have been anything like that. There's no doubt in my mind that you've got atrocities on both sides. I'm not in here today, this morning, to tell you the Serbs are perfect people. Not at all. But I'm trying to show you something. I'm trying to establish a principle with you here. Because it leads to something. Yes, sir.
A lot of those supposedly mass murders,
our soul. That's very interesting. In other words, it was all just to put up a show. Right. Right. False flag. NATO is the United States' leverage of the UN with their own sovereignty, pulling other states together to get done what they want to get done if the UN doesn't go along. That's NATO. That's NATO. I want you to look here now at this Cardinal Stepanak in World War II, who's guilty of all this stuff. All you got to do is read what the Serbs have to say. But here's the thing about it. This is what's important. October the 3rd, 1998. Pope John Paul II beatified Cardinal Aloysius Stepanak at a huge open-air service at the shrine of Marija Bistrica, the most important place of pilgrimage for Roman Catholics in Croatia. This is the final step in making him a saint in the Roman Catholic institution. Now, did you get all that in? What I just told you? This is like throwing salt in the wound. This is like getting in your face and telling you, I don't care what you think, we're going to make a saint out of him. The cardinal that was over Croatia, the Catholic Church in Croatia, during World War II. And that's an amazing thing to me, because it kind of shows you the mindset of the Vatican and the Roman Catholic Church. Now, they had a camp called Jasenovac. In this camp, Jasenovac is like Treblinka, Auschwitz, Belsen-Belsen, Buchenwald, and these German camps. It's a camp where they detained all these Serbians and Jews, gypsies, and the figures are anywhere from 600 to 700,000 Serbs died in that camp. The Serbian Orthodox Church says 1.5 million died. So, you know, there's no way to be certain about it, but an awful lot of people died in these camps, in this camp here, and in the countryside and all during World War II, at the hands of the Roman Catholic Croatians. Now, when you do something, you establish a principle. Okay, from that you work from that principle. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that you could trust the Vatican? I hope you don't think you can. And I hope you don't think that it's all stopped and that they've just kind of quit, because they're moving ahead. They are really moving ahead. Here's the latest Vatican blueprint for global control. They're making it public now. They want global control. They want there to be one universal church. Guess who's going to be ahead of it? They've published a paper. Here's some of the terminology. To shape a new vision for the future. An efficient allocation of available resources. That's sustainable development. Agenda 21 stuff that you're seeing on the local level right now. Embracing the logic of the global common good. A new humanism open to transcendence. Look at these words. A new humanism open to transcendence. Now, in their own statement, here's what they said. In the prophetic encyclical Pacem in Terris of 1963, Pope John the 23rd observed that the world was heading towards ever greater unification. He then acknowledged the fact that a correspondence was lacking in the human community between the political organization on a world level and objective needs of the universal common good. He also expressed the hope that one day a true world political authority would be created, like spreading the wealth around, like everybody sharing in the prosperity. Have you ever heard terms like that lately? Once this kind of thinking starts, they give themselves away by their terminology. It goes on to say, the establishment of a global political authority cannot be achieved without an already functioning multilateralism. What's that mean? That means a control and expansion over many different areas of the earth. Not only on a diplomatic level, but also and above all in relation to programs for sustainable development and peace. It is not possible to arrive at global governance without giving political expression to pre-existing forms of interdependence and cooperation. That's a Catholic document, folks. That didn't come from the UN. That's a Catholic document, making it plain that they want a universal interdependence. What's that mean? That means that no nation will be able to operate on a sovereign level where it can handle all of its finances, its military, its economy, and all of that. It has to give up some of that so another nation can, it has to depend on another nation to handle certain areas. That way they're interdependent with each other. NAFTA is the beginning of it, the North American Free Trade Agreement. When you've got Canada, United States, and Mexico, the three powers in the northern hemisphere in the Americas. NAFTA is the beginning of it. GATT's part of it. All of this stuff is incremental. It doesn't just come all of a sudden. It's incremental. A little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit here, a little bit there. It's like the frog in the pot, and the water gets hotter and hotter and hotter, and the frog sits there until all of a sudden the water's boiling and the frog's being cooked. And if you'd put the frog in boiling water, it'd have jumped out. People are being cooked now. It's boiling. The planned dissolution of nation states. Modern states, this is from the Vatican, it attacks the nation state. Modern states became structured wholes over time and reinforced sovereignty within their own territory. But social, cultural, and political conditions have gradually changed. And have they ever? And who do you think was the change agent? Who do you think was behind the social change in America? Look how it's changed. 40% of all the children born in this nation born out of wedlock. Who do you think had hand in that? Over half the marriages breaking up in divorce. We have an epidemic of people addicted to drugs. We have a crime wave like you wouldn't believe. Social destruction of a nation. First thing they did was kick prayer out of school. Then they destroyed your faith in the Bible. Then they turned the church into a circus. And people today are just wandering around like zombies. They don't know where the truth is. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to go. They don't know who to listen to. Do you think that just happened? Planned Parenthood is one of the worst. Margaret Sanger's outfit was one of the worst that ever existed. Pardon? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How many of you know what partial birth abortion is? That's one of the most horrendous things that ever existed, that ever man ever created. Horrendous. It's horrible. And then there's the case, you know, they don't like this, but there's the case when they've done everything to abort a child, baby comes out still alive. What do you do then? Here you got a live baby. Well, in the state of Illinois, they had a problem with that, so they had to pass a law to deal with an issue like that. What are we going to do with these live babies? Well, most of the people in Illinois, the lawmakers said, well, if it's live, it looks like the hand of God's in this thing somewhere. They want this baby to live. But some of them said, kill it. Guess who in the White House, what he said? Kill it. Even after it has left the womb, drawn its first breath of life, little old helpless thing laying there, kill it. Now I'm going to tell you right now, one more time, separate me from that crowd. I want nothing to do with that bunch. I rebuke them. I got nothing to do with killing babies. Oh, yeah, you get into that too. The only good that this world's ever known came through the gospel. They used to take baby girls out into the desert and dig a hole and put them in it. They didn't want the baby girls. They wanted baby boys. They're still doing that. Still doing that. The only good thing that this world's ever known came through the gospel. Amen. Amen. That's the truth. Anything else is barbarism. And I'm going to tell you right now, in the state of Illinois, I don't know who else does it, but if a baby comes out of that womb and that baby's alive and you're going to kill that baby, in my book, you're nothing but a killing murderer. I'll tell you how to make it real to you. Go into the room and watch them do it one time. Stand there next to them and see how you feel when you see them kill a little baby that's alive. That's the reality of what November the 6th or 4th or whatever that day is about. That's what the reality is. It's that reality. It's the reality of life and death. That amazes me. I marvel at that. I marvel at the coldness. I do, man. I tell you, I marvel at that. I mean, if you abort a baby and go in the DNC method, when they go in there and they just cut out pieces and take pieces out, and the nurse or the doctor has to put them, they have to take all the pieces out and take a table over here and put them together to make sure that they've got the complete baby. Because if they leave part of the baby in there, you're going to have problems. See, the decay of the what body that's left, you get infections and all kinds of problems. So you got to put everything together. Would you like to have that job? Putting arms and... That's the kind of stuff that goes on, folks. That's what abortion's about. Yeah. Yes, sir.
I worked for about 9 years in hospitals as a young man. I was a chief attendant there. I was the one who had to go to surgery and pick up the legs and whatever they were going to do with it. And I opened up a wrapping one day. And I used to take them to consider down at the bottom of the hospital. And they were all the babies that were, they were real babies.
What'd you think when you stood there and looked at all those little baby bodies? That's exactly what I was thinking. No, you won't forget that. If you got a soul, you won't. What a job. Somebody's got to do it. Good old communism.
What they were doing, the abortion clinics were giving or selling the aborted babies to manufacturers who were then taking them, drying them out, grinding them up, and using them in a sexual performance enhancement capsule.
Don't they also use some of these babies or something, collagen or something about them for beautification?
Yeah.
There's too many worms I could dig up before I'd start eating babies.
I got one more thing.
Yes, sir. Well, that's like partial birth abortion, see, because...
That's partial birth. That's what the partial birth is.
Yeah. You can see it kicking and jumping when they inject it. It's horrible, folks. I mean, when you start talking about this stuff, it's horrible. People just like to push it off and let's just have a hunky-dory, happy, happy life and forget about the babies.
Remarks about the overturned nurses in abortion situation where they did
I bet that's a good study right there. Yeah. What happens to these nurses? How do you do that, folks? How do you do that? You got to brainwash people. You got to make Ottomans out of them. You got to brainwash them. You got to numb their soul in order for them to accommodate something like that. You may not personally be involved in it, but if you go vote for somebody that does it, you've put your approval on it.
That's right.
Right? I don't think there's very few people in this country that would take a live baby and just kill it. You know, I'm talking about a baby that's a year old, 12 months old baby. You know, most people would be horrified with that thought. Yes, sir.
When I was first saved back in 87, we saw a film. I don't know if it was X-ray or whatever that is, some kind of imaging that they do. But they did this imaging while abortion was being done.
Yeah.
And it was one where they go in with the forceps and pull the parts off. Like
yeah. Well, I didn't mean to get into all this, but you know God Almighty's watching this, and He'll right. judge a nation by the way they do something like that. I'll tell you right now, He's not interested in your technology.
Right.
He doesn't care anything about how beautiful you are. He wants to see what you do to the vulnerable, to the most innocent. That's where He'll judge. That's where He'll judge. Yes, sir. The heart, brother. Yes, sir. Newborn blood.
It has a lot of properties that.
Well, see, that's been the thing with the stem cell research. A stem cell is a cell that has not a cell. The way God made this body, all the cells in the beginning can become anything. But once it becomes a ear or a nose or an eye, it becomes a specialized cell. And then it can't change. And so they found that that babies, newborns, have something. I don't remember. It's been a while since I've read it, where they can that it's usable stem cells to where they can coax them into becoming a liver or something like that, you know, to use in medical research and medical treatment and so forth and so on. All looks good, but what about the babies? See, that's the problem. Sure, they're doing it. And that's what cloning's all about, too. If they start the cloning business, and they're already cloning, if they clone, then they have a ready supply of babies. They can just clone them. And then medical treatment, what have you. The Bible said the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart, try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. The heart's deceitful. My heart, your heart, everybody else's heart. So the only one that can change my heart's the Lord.
Amen.
It didn't mean getting to preaching, but glory to God, that's the only one that can.
Amen.
Amen. It is. Hallelujah. All right. And they expressed a hope that a true world political authority would be created. And so it goes. They want a one world government, and they're making it plain. And they've even said that it will not come about except there will be pain, suffering, anguish. They admit that. They say that's going to happen. And of course it will. Look what war produces. Pain, suffering, anguish. And look where it all leads to. We've got about 5 minutes left in here this morning. And I'm not going to move any further. I've covered about all I can cover right now. I don't know how much more I'd need to show you that the Roman Catholic Church is definitely, in my mind, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Now, here's the issue. an awful lot of men out there, and they're good men, say the Pope is the Antichrist. I'm not quick to jump on that. He certainly is an Antichrist, but I'm not so sure that he is the Antichrist. Yes?
There was a king that was assassinated that kind of kicked things off in the beginning of World War II, if I'm not mistaken.
That was World War I in Sarajevo. It was Sarajevo. It was supposed to have been by a Croatian nationalist who killed Franz...
Ferdinand.
The Croatia was... not Croatia. Serbia was involved. A Serbian... Did I say Croatian nationalist? Serbian nationalist killed him, assassinated him. World War I did.
Yeah.
And the problem with World War I is that all of these alliances that these states had with each other, they felt obligated to come in and support the other one, who wound up getting sucked in, and this one got sucked in. This one had to support them because they'd drawn treaties up with each other. But it all started there. It sure did. In Sarajevo. Sure did. And World War III, they say, has already started. And I want to leave this with you this morning, folks. Get on Debkafile, D-E-B-K-A, Debkafile, and read what they're saying. Israel is ready to strike at any minute.
Is that a subscription?
No, they have a subscription. You know, they want to make a little money and pay their bills, but they've got plenty of news that you don't have to subscribe to. Well, some of them are truncated, but they've also got a button at the bottom that says you want to read more. Now, some of them, when you want to read more, you have to subscribe. Yes.
Okay.
You got to kind of watch it. Yeah.
I just hate to have my name on this.
Yes, sir.
Egypt's moving a lot of their tanks, artillery to the Sinai Desert.
They are, brother. They've completely taken over the military, the Muslim Brotherhood. Israel is being threatened from three sides right now. Yes, sir, brother. Yes, sir. And the attitude among the Israeli leadership is very simple. We can't trust Obama. They say that. They can't trust him. And he's yet to visit the country. He's yet to visit it. Now, what do you think is going to happen if war does break out between Israel and Iran? What's going to happen?
Israel predicts a 30-day war.
Well, yeah, but they don't know.
The oil spigots will be turned off. The whole world will be thrown into chaos.
Have you ever wondered why the Social Security Administration has ordered millions of rounds of ammunition? Have you ever filed your taxes and gone in, that guy was armed with a .40 caliber Smith & Wesson? Have you ever seen anything like that? What? The Weather Channel has ordered a bunch of rounds of ammunition?
Yeah, and there's another group.
Homeland Security last year has ordered 1.4 billion rounds of hollow-point ammunition.
1.4 thousand million.
Four rounds of every man, woman, and child in the country.
Somebody said that if this election takes place in November, that the possibility of two riots could take place. Riot number one, if Obama is not elected. Riot number two, if he is elected. That's truth. I read that. We could be in dogfight like you wouldn't believe soon. What's that mean? The Lord's coming back. That's what it means. Brother Rouillet dismisses, please.